Hello and welcome to the 25 Questions Featuring a White Guy podcast. My name is Zach. I'll be your host for this evening. And without further ado, let's get into it. So the first question is obviously, who am I? First question, first episode, let's do this. Okay, so my name's Zach. I live in a city called Toronto, or if you're local, it's called Toronto. It's a major city in Canada. Ontario is the province, I guess. I work a basic 9-to-5 job, and I recently took up this podcast because I figured I wanted to do some extra in my time, a little bit of a hobby. And kind of answering questions is like something I figured would be easy enough to do, and here we are. So that's question number one. Let's go on to question number two. Okay, and question number two. What was an experience with a girl that you regret? Okay. Well, that one gets deep into the history books, doesn't it? Let's wind back the clock. It's 2014. I'm in Berlin, and I'm exploring a concentration camp just north of the city called Sachsenhausen. I forget how to exactly pronounce the name, and clearly I cannot speak German at all. Anyway, so this concentration camp is a bit north of the city, and you have to take a train up to the location. So when I get up there, I realized I actually didn't have a clue where the camp was, and being a first newbie solo traveler, I didn't actually even think to bring a map or download one on my phone. So needless to say, I was clueless and unaware of where I was. Continuing on with, so I get to the station there, and I'm just like trying to figure out how the hell I get to the camp. And I overhear this girl asking the station attendant in English where Sachsenhausen concentration camp is. And I'm like, oh, that's, you know, just I'll wander over there and see what's happening. Maybe I'll get, you know, some information by eavesdropping, essentially. So I overhear the, and I ask, and I jump in. I'm like, oh, are you going there as well? You know, mind if I join you? Again, completely disregarding, you know, what that actually looked like. But, you know, I was just like, I need to find out directions where I'm going. I want to get there quickly. Screw it. So she says, oh, yeah. It's just 20 minutes up the road. You might, you know, if you want, we can go together. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Let's do that. That makes it easy. So we walk up there, and she's nice. She's a Swedish girl, very cute. And, you know, again, like the conversation we're having going up there is, you know, the typical banter, you know. It's just, you know, where do you live, you know, what's your job, blah blah blah, what interests you in a concentration camp north of Berlin in the dead of winter, you know, conversational kind of stuff, right? So we get up to the camp, and at this, okay, so I guess to preface this section as well, that I'm not a very social person, other than like if I really need to be. If I need to be that social person, I'll jump in there, I'll do it, but I don't like it. And so a lot of the times I just kind of keep to myself and remain a silent, stoic person, essentially. But at that point, I was just like, you know, I was kind of like hoping that she would say, oh, I'm going to go do this tour and, you know, I don't really want you to join. And I was like, kind of like hoping that she would kind of politely excuse me and I could go about my business, which is a weird thing to want. But again, like, you know, I'm not a very big social person, but I completely in the other direction, she asked if, you know, I wanted to do the tour with her. And of course, I'm like, well, I guess. I mean, I don't want to be rude, you know. So we do the whole tour, and you know, have a nice little, you know, again, more some historic. There was less talking, I should say, you know, because of the historical area and stuff like that. You know, you can't exactly chat a girl up next to a memorial for where people died, right? Not a good conversation starter. So you know, we continue talking, and you know, we keep doing the tour, and eventually we get to the point where she says she has to go, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I'll talk to you later. I say talk to you later, but get to that. So she goes off, and about 5 minutes after she had left, I'm like, you know, going through another one of the areas of the camp, and I'm in my head, it occurs to me, I did not get her name. I did not get any relevant contact information from her whatsoever. And then it also occurred to me that she was also, again, like I said, really cute. And if I wanted to ever see her again or talk to her again, like I had said, that was going to be a little difficult without name or contact information. So I promptly found myself a bench, put my head in my hands, sighed heavily, and, you know, got up and finished the rest of the tour. But yeah, that was definitely one experience with a girl I regret quite a bit. Yeah, that's terrible. All right. Question number three. What are the signs of a boring person? Oh, that's interesting. How can you tell a boring person apart from a non-boring person? You know, I would say it honestly depends on, Yeah, it's gotta be, it's their life outlook. You know, it's definitely their life outlook. If they're telling you that, they're really interested in their job and stuff like that, that's, unless their job is like, you know, actually like helping humanity in some really cool way, like, you know, fireman or police officer, I'd say that's generally a good sign. I mean, no one really, I can't imagine anyone taking a great deal of pleasure in being the HR representative in at a multinational corporation. This doesn't sound very fulfilling, but you know, what do I know? I mean, I'm not exactly fulfilled in my personal job. That's kind of why I'm doing a podcast. No, I'm kidding. Another sign of a boring person, I would say, is just like, you know, their lack of knowledge in a lot of, like, you know, key areas of life. Or actually, that's a bad thing to say. I should say more to the tune of they're just not very aware. They're not very aware of like the grand scheme of things. You know, they're not able to think out of the box. That'd be a sign. Only because it just shows, like, you know, there's not a lot of perception. You know, they have their box and they know the things in the box very well, but they don't have the opinion, I should say, or the know-how to add things to that box. You know, that would be a sign. I really appreciate, like, when people are like knowledgeable about things. It's like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, you can ask them more information. But if they're just like knowledgeable in like three things and that's it, it's like, oh, well, that's cool, I guess. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that people like that aren't boring in general. I'm just saying it just kind of shows a little bit of a lack of knowledge in some other areas. But, you know, to each his own. At the end of the day, being a boring person, you shouldn't really be concerned about that in the first place. I mean, people are as they are, right? So take them as they come. All right. Question number four. Who is the worst character in TV history? Yeah, I'm going to have a... you know what? Yeah, screw it. It's Randy. It's Randy from That 70s Show. That guy is just annoying. I can't remember what annoyed me about that character. It's just, he showed up just after Topher Grace left the show. And he kind of, I guess the showrunners wanted to make him the replacement for Eric, and he sucked at it. And to no credit, like, you know, it's not the act or anything. It's just the way they wrote the character. It's just, ugh, awful. Yeah, another worst character, I wouldn't say in TV history, but another really terrible character I didn't really care for was Ted from How I Met Your Mother, where he was just overly complaining about a lot of things that happened to him. And it was just, it got frustrating. It was, you know, it was cute and it was funny for like the first couple seasons. But after, like, that show ran for what, 8 seasons or so? Like, it just got annoying. And I got frustrated. I'm like, Ted, how could you be this stupid? Like, come on. And you know, I get they got to push the show for as long as possible, but it doesn't bode very well. All right, question number five: what food turns your stomach or is nauseating to you? Marshmallow salad. And I guess for those of you who don't know what marshmallow salad is, imagine somebody took a bowl of marshmallows, mixed in some sort of, I think it's, what do they use? It's like sour cream or something like that. And then added tangerine tomatoes from a can. That's marshmallow salad. And it's weirdly sweet, weirdly tangy, weirdly fruity. And it's things that shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. That's my stance. Marshmallow salad should not be. And that's just, I can never eat it. I can't even really look at it for long. And the texture too just bugs the hell out of me. It's just, why? Why would someone create this dish? I don't know. All right. Question number six. What should be in every public restroom stall that isn't already? I really appreciate the seat covers. You know, where you, there, it's like a towel thing you put over the seat. I really appreciate that. That's nice. And I say that because, like, Okay, and then getting a little personal information, but you know, I like to make a what's called a nest when you're in there. You know, you take the toilet paper off the roll and you put it around the seat, so you have yourself a barrier between the seat, which everybody uses, and your ass. I appreciate when restrooms have, and I wish more of them would have, this thing where you could pull that thing that's already the size of the sheet of the toilet bowl and just put it right over top instead of me having to, you know, spend an extra 5-10 seconds, you know, taking toilet roll, taking some toilet paper and making my own, essentially DIYing my seat. When I do see it, I'm very appreciative. Very appreciative. Question 7. What is the cheapest purchase you have made that has had the biggest impact on your daily life? It is a safety razor. A safety razor and the razors themselves. Huge money saver. Not so cheap in the first instance, but over time it does get cheaper. And that's because, so for those of you who don't know what a safety razor is, you know, back in the day when they'd have like those straight razors, this is like slightly after that period, where you'd buy the razor and you'd buy this razor blade and you put the razor blade in the razor and then use that. And then when the razor, you know, gets dull, you can just take out the blade and throw it away and then put a new one in there. That has been a huge cost saver, mainly because the shaver itself, yes, does cost $50 up front, but that shaver is good, like, for years, I would even say decades. If your grandfather has one, you know, when he passes, or if he doesn't need it anymore, why not, grab it, because there's nothing too crazy about them. They're just very simplistic devices. They're made of metal, and they'll last forever. And then you have the razor blades, which are cheap. You can buy a pack of 100 of them off Amazon for about $18, which if you're like me and you use one blade per month, that's like 100 months worth of blades, or God knows, I can't do math on the spot, how many years worth of razor blades with a single purchase of $18. And when you start doing the math, like with disposable razors and like even the cartridge ones, it shows, right? And the other thing about them is that you buy your own soaps, and there's a huge variety of soaps out there, so there's lots of options. And they're just easy to clean. Like, you know, the reason why one blade lasts a whole month is because, you know, you can clean the thing out after each use, and it's boom, done, ready to go for a new one. Whereas a disposal razor or the cartridge one, they get, like, you know, loaded up with hair or something. It's just, yeah. But yeah, by far, safety razor. 100% all the time, would not go without, highly recommend. All right. Question number 8. How have you improved yourself over the past year? Well, I did take some extra courses. I started learning Mandarin Chinese in my off time. Didn't really get very far with it, but you know, I tried. I do like to learn some languages. The previous language I learned before that was Esperanto, which while cool to learn, I've only ever used it like a couple times here and there, and I do wish I used it more, but yeah, you know, you learn. Another thing I'm kind of improving myself with is my dancing ability, I guess. I started taking up swing dancing classes because I needed to do something, you know, when there's music playing and you got like this awkward, lanky white guy standing around just pointing his fingers, it's not good. It's not a good scene. So I figured that was something that needed to be improved on. And so started taking swing dance classes, and not so much that I could, you know, do it as a competitive or like just go out swing dancing. It's just, you know, to learn rhythm, I thought would be a good way, to get started in that dancing realm, as it were. So far it's been fun. I mean, I've had a lot of fun doing it. Met some cool people. And as it turns out, there's a decent enough swing scene, as they say, in Toronto. So win-win, I guess, right? All right, question 9. What's the dumbest reason you've lost a good friend over? Religion. I would say religion. Yeah, that's... it's the dumbest reason in the sense that like, when I'm looking back on it now, it was a stupid thing to even start fighting over in the first place. But, yeah, you know, I would say young, but I'm not that old. You know, you realize some things are worth fighting over and some things aren't. And religion is definitely one of the things that is not worth fighting over, especially friendship. It's just not just a total waste of time. And that's definitely one of the dumbest reasons. I don't want to get too into the reasons why, because it's just messy. All right, question 10. In retrospect, what is a massive waste of money? Oh, so we're going to flip on the other one. All right. A massive waste of money. I want to say MacBooks, but there's a little asterisk, depending on the situation. And that's because if you're a student and you're getting a MacBook, this is more back when I was getting the MacBook way back, my MacBook, I should say. A lot of people are getting them just for the sake of having them, and it just seemed like a really stupid reason to do that. the other thing was, like, as a student, you don't really get a lot of the juice out of it, as it were. Most students now, they got all their tools, all the things they need to do is web browser based, so they don't really need a whole lot of hardware to actually back them up on these tasks. It's only if, like, the student's into, like, creative works that, you know, a MacBook with a decent graphics card actually comes in handy. But a lot of that kind of revolves also around, like, the student lifestyle, I guess, where students kind of just buy products they think are cool. And it seems like a poor way to spend money. That's definitely a massive waste of money. It's just buying MacBooks for the sake of buying a MacBook. Just no, don't do it. All right, next question. Actually, what question was that? All right, I guess it's question 11. Typing on my keyboard to keep track here. All right. What is the TV intro you never got tired of? I never got tired of the intro to That 70s Show. Or Friends, weirdly enough. Friends is annoying and repetitive. But you can always, like, you always clap along at the time when you do the whole, like, clap as it comes up. That 70s Show, I would say, I never got tired of that theme song. That was always fun to sing along to. The song itself is pretty good. I mean, I like songs from the 70s and earlier, so that one's definitely worthwhile. Worthwhile to listen to, I should say. I like that one a lot, yeah. All right, question 12. What is your favorite swear word or non-swear word? I like calling people communists now. That's it's been a highlight of recent. I don't know why. It's just, you know, if I get my order of food and they don't put napkins in the bag, I'm just like, oh, a bunch of communists or something like that, and just mumble under my breath as I get the order. Or, like, even if I'm at work, some of my coworkers have, like, you know, overheard me saying that. I'm like, oh, they didn't give me mustard this time. Ah, communists. I don't know, it's just something fun to say. It's lighter than a swear word in the sense that, you know, no one really knows why that would be a bad thing. So it's more like it brings up more questions than it answers, really. That's what it does. It's just fun. I mean, you don't really hear people calling each other commies anymore. It certainly isn't like, you know, the 50s or 60s when that was, like, more prevalent. It's just, I don't know, kind of fun to say. Question 13. What do you do to stay in shape? What do I do to stay in shape? I go rock climbing. Rock climbing, biking. I do a lot of walking. Yeah. That's how I stay in shape. does me pretty well. I like rock climbing for the puzzle and the figuring it out and trying to, like, figure it out as you're climbing up there. Because it's as much a mental puzzle as it is a physical, like, physically demanding thing. Because, like, you're working on, it's all about balance and, like, you know, the right positioning. And then when you got, like, that puzzle and you can't see from the bottom of the wall half the time what the top holds are like. And so you get up there and you grab one of them. You're like, oh, that's different than what it looked like down below for either good or bad reasons, right? It's also just fun. I mean, when I saw the overhang area where you could, like, hang off the ceiling, I was like, I want to be up there as soon as possible. So it took me about a year to get up to that point. But now that I'm, like, able to climb on the ceiling and stuff like that, I'm having a ball. Biking, almost for the same reason. Biking's just nice because, like, I can think, you know, you just think and ride. And on a hot day, it's just nice. I don't know. It's just peaceful. Walking's the same. Just lots of thinking time, lots of just contemplation about things. And you also just see more of the city that way, especially like with walking and biking. Like I've done both in the winter. Obviously, walking is a lot easier. But there are two things you can always do most of the year, regardless of weather. And you'll always, you can explore some new areas by doing that. So yeah, I would definitely recommend biking and walking if you're into that kind of stuff, like just contemplation quietly and not too heavy of exercise. But rock climbing, definitely, if you want to actually do some fun stuff in regards to seeing what your body can actually do, especially over 2 to 3 hours of climbing. Like, so just seeing how long you can go for is definitely fun. All right, question 14. What is your country most famous for? Well, as previously stated, I'm from Canada, and that means we're just nice. We're just nice. We got that Timmy Hortons, Justin Trudeau, and pretty soon legalized marijuana. So, or cannabis, I should say cannabis. Gotta get all hoity-toity now. I'm actually on a side note on that. I'm actually kind of looking forward. I'm not looking forward to what cannabis is going to look like in Canada. And I say that because as someone who has smoked marijuana in the past, who has, done that stuff. I don't know why I did that. It's just to see it legalized, it takes a bit of the fun out of it. You know, like when you're a teenager and you're smoking it behind the 7-Eleven during your school lunch break, it's like, haha, look at us. We're being rebels. Haha. Not that I did it behind a 7-Eleven, not during lunch period. I don't know what you're talking about. It's completely ridiculous. As a straight-laced student. But no, it just doesn't seem right, you know? And also, I'm just not looking forward to the whole Amsterdam kind of scenario or scene where, when I was in Amsterdam, I loved Amsterdam. The city is amazing. What I hated was the smell of pot every 5 feet. It was cool for the first 5 hours of being in the city. But when I left after the third day, I was annoyed. I was like, I don't want to smell that for another 2 weeks, I swear to God. And it's just kind of I don't know, it's just a personal opinion. I never had a bad experience with it. I was just, there's a time and a place, time and a place. And when I can smell a joint being smoked right outside the Van Gogh Museum, I was just like, here, really? Here? There's some amazing works of art in there, and you're doing that. Okay, cool. Bit of a strong stance to take, but that's my take on it. All right, question 15. What is the best movie you've seen filmed in black and white? Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Only because it's a Stanley Kubrick, so it's good. And also, it's just an entertaining movie. They use the way that the black and white color grading is used in that film, especially considering that color footage was available at the time. The way that everything's shot just really highlights the contrast of the scenes and stuff like that. It's just a really good looking black and white film. There's some pop culture references in there that are nice. Overall, it's just a really well done black and white film, and it's timeless. It's honestly timeless. I can't say anything more about that. You have to watch it. If you haven't seen Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, it's a long title. You only need to look up the first part of it, Doctor Strangelove. Give it a watch. You'll definitely have a good time. It's not a boring movie by any means. And if nothing else, you'll come away from it a little bit more cultured because, Stanley Kubrick films, someone brings it up at a party, they're likely talking about A Clockwork Orange or Space Odyssey. But then you can mention Dr. Strangelove and everyone will love you and look at you like the film nerd. So, yeah, definitely recommend that movie. Question 16. What cover song blows the original out of the water? Huh. Okay, this would be controversial, but there are some songs in the movie Across the Universe that are Beatles originals, redone with the cast from Across the Universe. Now, get some flames for these. But no, scenes, songs like I Want to, Dear Prudence, that one in the film is a lot, I feel, is a lot more, I don't know what the word is. It just sounds better than the original Beatles one. And the same with, this one's actually a bit half and half. So with a little help from my friends. So that song by the Beatles is good. It's amazing standalone. But I just like how poppy and just how more energetic the Across the Universe version is from that version, from the original, I should say. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just more, you get more of the feel, like, you know, he gets by with his friends, he's having fun. And the Beatles one, I feel, kind of doesn't have that same air, but it's still good on its own. And that's not to say one's better over the other. I just, personally, I do like listening to a couple of the Across the Universe tracks, just for the sole reason that the Beatles ones, although still good on their own, the energy in the Across the Universe ones are just better in some way. I don't know. All right. In your opinion, what is the most memorable movie quote? Well, that's easy. I'll be back. Or Bach. Bach. Nah, I can't do Arnold. You say that line to anybody, and provided they've seen enough films at that point in their life, they know what you're talking about. I mean, it's even referenced in kids' movies sometimes. Like, it's just, yeah, everyone's got to know that movie quote. On the flip side, one I wish was more noteworthy was if you could do that, that would be great. From Office Space, where the boss always ends his conversations, if you could go ahead and do that, that'd be great. And I say that only because, like, it's just the way it's used in the movie. It, like, you just feel, you identify with the character, and you get so tired of hearing it. And like, even when I see it at work, I'm like, it just hurts. and for a good way and a bad way, I'm just like, how can you use that line? Ah, I wish you didn't say that. Yeah. What am I addicted to? Social flipping media. And it's a double-edged sword. I like social media for the purpose of, I can, like, you know, keep in contact with friends and, you know, stuff like that. And we can all kind of, like, you know, share what our days are like. But on the flip side of that, we're always in contact and we can see what each other's days are like. And it's just, it gets to a point that's depressing. So a lot of times what I'll do with my various social accounts is I'll just not post for a couple days as like a detox, or I try not to look at it. And it's just, it's I think it's like a social addiction. A society also shares this addiction in a lot of ways, because like, it just gets to you. Like, you open the app every time. Like, I have Facebook on my phone. I open up the app every so often just to look at it. And it's just, it's taxing. But yeah, that's definitely what I'm addicted to. As for solving that addiction, I try not to post, like I said, but it's hard. It's hard. Too many people, everyone's connected to it now. And it's like, you either have Facebook or you don't. And even with that whole, like, delete Facebook thing, I don't think people realize, like, yes, you can delete your Facebook profile, you can get off Facebook. Good for you. What else are you using? Are you using WhatsApp? You're still on Facebook, technically. Are you using Instagram? Yeah, you're still on Facebook, technically. It's like, you can't just, like, try to cut off a company and be like, aha, I did a thing and I'm happy. It's like, no, come on. And also, like, it's also to the point where, like, you know, if you meet someone, like, you travel, you meet somebody, usually the best way to keep in contact with them is via Facebook, whether you like it or not. And that's just the way it is. And it's just sad, and it's sad, but it's also good. But yeah, no one exchanges phone numbers anymore. And pardon me. Ain't nobody getting my address, that's for sure. All right, next question. How did you find out Santa was fake? That is a fun story. When I was little, I forget what age, I think it might have been 8, 9. But I was writing a letter to the Tooth Fairy. And I forget what did I say? My mom's like, you know, you shouldn't do that because, you know, the Tooth Fairy is not real. And because, you know, she figured at this age, she could break it to me. And so I was like, oh, obviously distraught. And, you know, I wasted my time writing this letter. I turned to her and apparently I said, like, well, I suppose you're going to tell me that the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus aren't real either. You know, it's like a dare, like, you know, ha ha, gotcha. They have to be real. And she told me they're not. So that there was that bubble popped. That's how I found out. And in retrospect, I mean, 8 or 9 is pretty old to be believing in that stuff anyway. I mean, I can tell you for sure, when I get to an age where I have children and they get to that, and, you know, it's time to tell them about Santa Claus, or like they ask what Santa Claus is, because spoiler, I won't be telling them about Santa or any of that crap. It's just, and I say crap, I mean, there's having that belief system for a reason, and there's also just not lying to your children. I prefer not to lie to my children, regardless of how good it makes them feel for those couple first years, or if even if it's like a bait to, you know, to get them to be good. I just don't see the use in it. I'd much rather have them, you know, be trusting in their father than, you know, believing in some Santa Claus, right? Like, it's just, I don't like it. I don't like the idea of that at all. Yeah, that's how I found out what Santa Claus is fake, and by proxy, what I think of Santa Claus in terms of parenting. So there you go. All right, next question. What is my deep / dark web experience? Oh, well, it doesn't go very far, actually. My deep web experience is actually quite shallow. I got on the deep web using the Tor browser and a VPN. Oh, man, it must have been like 6 or 5 years ago. Browsed 3 websites, found an anarchist website, and promptly got off. I was just bored. I never really liked anything. It was like one of those things you did as a teenager just to, you know, see what's there. Haha, see, you know, explore the deep web. I didn't get much use out of it or really see the point. Mind you, I do like the idea of the deep web, so I like that that people are that paranoid, or rather they like privacy that much that they would actually use that. Good on them. Good for you. I like that it exists. Not for me. That's all there is to it. What's something you should have owned up to? There's been a couple times in the past. Not a couple times. Who am I kidding? There's been like 2 or 3 times where I knew a girl kind of liked me more than I liked her, and I didn't want to say anything, so I kind of just, you go along with the first date, right? You do your thing. I wasn't rude or anything like that, but I definitely wasn't responsive, you know what I mean? Like, I really hate it when I do that, too, and I feel like I always, like, end up doing the same thing I do all the time, is I just kind of cut them off for a bit, and I try not to, like, respond or do a lot of that stuff, so. But I honestly should own up to it more and just tell them straight up, like, look, I'm not that into you as you are into me or whatever. I should always own up to those things. Trying to think of a more relevant one, but none are really coming to mind. When I was a kid, I didn't really do a lot of bad shit that I should have owned up to. I was always like, you know, petrified someone was going to find out. Never mind me owning up to it. Can't think of anything else. That's one thing I always figure I should own up to, is just, you know, acknowledging and being direct with somebody. So I've tried in the past implement a truth protocol, as it were, where I'm just trying to be more direct with people. And it's kind of worked, kind of not, but, you know, take the good with the bad. That's how it is. All right, what nerdy thing are you extremely interested in or love doing? So I hate math. I love Excel. I don't know why. I don't like doing math. I hated math. I was never good at it in high school, or in school in general. I did a college year, my first year of college, I failed out of the first program I was in because of math. It was industrial microbiology. I hated that. But then whenever I'm doing finances, like, you know, my own personal budgeting or like, investment stuff, I'm always like just fascinated with like the numbers of it. Right. And it's the application, you know, like I'm not actually the one doing the math. It's Excel. I can just, you know, make the formula or whatever, and it just works. There's no need for me to actually, like, you know, whip out a calculator and a spare sheet of paper and actually write down the shit. Really like using Excel, and maybe that's not as nerdy as I think it is, but that's definitely up there. Another, I mean, this is kind of like a past nerdy thing, but I was really into cryptocurrency at one time. Also, hey, look at that, something that involves math and money. So, and I was really into that stuff, and I can still talk to hours on that, but I won't do it. It gets to a point where there's a lot of politics now, and it's not worth talking about half the time. All right, next one. What's your what's your favorite musical instrument and why? All right, my favorite musical instrument, piano. Why? It's the sound of the damn thing. I don't know. It's just, you hear those keys and the melody and the way the everything like tones together. I don't know. It sounds amazing. And one regret that I kind of have is that I didn't really learn piano. And that's not for lack of trying. I did try to learn piano. However, just couldn't do it. My fingers were not, I could not figure out how to make one hand do one thing while another hand did the same operation just with different fingers. And I couldn't do it. And it gets to me. That's another thing. I really wish I learned to play piano just because like I love hearing the music, even just piano renditions of popular songs. It's just amazing. But yeah, piano. All right, we're down to our 19th. No, not that one, the 19th. Duh. That'd be question 24. We are one question away from the end, people. That's good. All right, so question 24. What is your worst public transit experience? this is kind of like the worst and also the best. So I had taken a trip with a couple friends to San Francisco a number of years ago. Actually, two or three years ago now. Anyway. So we were staying up in this neighborhood called Potero Hill, I think it's Potero Hill. And there's a bus that goes through that neighborhood, the 19, and it goes from a lower income area, if I should say, up through the, Potero Hill area, which is like, nice houses and stuff like that. That's where our Airbnb was. And then back down through the meat, I think what's it called, the Tenderloin District, and then into downtown San Francisco. And that was our... We didn't know about the other buses in the area. It was just that bus that we knew of. So we took that bus for about 3 days. And oh my goodness, were those 3 days. Now, the first day we got on that bus, it was like a comedy show. We're just like, these are the characters that ride this bus. I remember one guy he looked like Flava Flav. It was just, he had the clock, he had the necklace, made of chains. He had like these massive sunglasses with a snapback baseball cap on, some baseball team on it. And just basketball jersey. Just, it was just comical. And then the second day was a little more dark. We started getting a lot more swearing, and there's my friend, I wasn't on this trip particular, but my friend said a fight broke out at the back of this bus. And then there was the day, this is the final day that I took this bus, and this is for this reason, was because I got on and I was like, what's the worst that could happen, First problem. The bus pulls up, the back door's open, and a slushy gets thrown out of the door and lands on the street. And I'm like, okay, great start. Then, so there's this old woman in front of me. She's like, got her walker, and she starts going up the steps of this bus because the San Francisco buses, they don't have a lot of flatbed buses. They got the ones at the stairs. So she's like, putting their walker as she goes up. And she hits like the third step up. And all you hear from the back of the bus is, "Get on the bus, bitch, we got places to be." And some woman, it's like just pissed off that this older woman is just taking forever to get on the bus. And I'm like, oh God, it's going to be one of those. So she gets on the bus. I sit down and, the rest of the trip is fairly mundane until we get just about into downtown. And that's when like this homeless guy gets on and he is just, I want to say it was mud, but it didn't smell like mud. And there was definitely some piss, just complete. Like he was rolling in a septic tank. That's the only excuse I could think of. That's the only plausible explanation to why he looked and smelled the way he did. And he sits down next to this Dominican woman who immediately gets up and says, mm-mm, not today. And she walks to the back of the bus. And like at that point now, like I'm about 5 feet away from this guy and the smell's starting to get to me. And it's bad. It's really bad. And so, you know, I take a huge deep breath. I'm just about to pass out. It's hot. It smells like piss. It smells like shit. You know, this guy's like coughing everywhere And so at the next stop, I jump out of the bus, and that was, I was about like 2 blocks away from downtown. I had to like walk another 20 minutes or I think it was like 20 minutes, maybe in big blocks. I don't know, but it was a while. And I was just like, that was my worst transit experience by far. I've never had anything like that in Toronto. Never. Like there's been homeless people. Yes. There's been people that smelled like shit. Yes. But not to the point where it was like pass out in the heat, like just bad. No, never happened. So that was my worst public transit experience. Question 25. Have you tried Ancestry.com? What were your findings? Okay, well, this is not a paid promotion. I'll tell you that straight off the bat. Ancestry.com, for those who don't know, is, well, exactly as the name suggests. You can look up your ancestry. .com on the website, on the internet, through the tubes. That's what you use it for. What are my findings? Well, my dad actually took care of a lot of that. Genealogy is cool. I like saying that, you know, I'm able to trace it back. And it's also interesting to see where you came from. Not a lot of interesting stuff though. I mean, not a lot of interesting stuff. Everyone in my family tree has come from very large families of like 8 or 9 children. Guess who's hedging their bets on that one? That's it. It just goes back farther and farther. And I think the farthest we got back was like the 1700s, either in Italy or in Scotland or Ireland somewhere. But yeah, that was the interesting thing from that. It was just, wow, our family goes back quite a far ways. And apparently all the parents thought that it was best to hedge their bets and have as many kids as possible while they're young, you know? You don't get to live until you're 35 all the time, certainly not in today's age. But yeah, those are the findings. Fascinating stuff, I know. And yeah, that concludes this episode. That was 25 questions. So to wrap this up, I should say that obviously thank you for listening if you made this far. That's nice, thank you. If you have a questions, please submit it through the Anchor app. That's the easiest way to ask me, probably. I do have a Twitter. You can send it to me that way if you really wanted to. It's @thatotherZach. That's it. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you on the next episode of 25 Questions, featuring a white guy. All right.